From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's selection is called Work is Done, Rest in Him. The text is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. God has provided a Sabbath, and some must enter into it. Those to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Therefore that Sabbath remains for the people of God. David sang of it, but he had to touch the minor key, for Israel refused the rest of God. Joshua could not give it, nor Canaan yield it. It remains for believers. Come then, let us labor to enter into this rest. Let us quit the weary toil of sin and self. Let us cease from all confidence, even in those works of which it might be said, they are very good. Have we any such? Still, let us cease from our own works, as God did from His. Now let us find solace in the finished work of our Lord Jesus. Everything is fully done. Justice demands no more. Great peace is our portion in Christ Jesus. As to providential matters, the work of grace in the soul and the work of the Lord in the souls of others, let us cast these burdens upon the Lord and rest in Him. When the Lord gives us a yoke to bear, He does so that, by taking it up, we may find rest. By faith we labor to enter into the rest of God, and we renounce all rest in self-satisfaction or indolence. Jesus Himself is perfect rest, and we are filled to the brim in Him. If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. In the course of these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the subject of the beauty, basis, and blessings of free justification. The text is Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Dr. Cairns has already expounded the beauty of how God imputes the righteousness of Christ to guilty sinners apart from any works they have done. Then we found that the basis of this justification is revealed from the Old Testament scriptures in the account of Abraham being justified by faith. The Bible says very simply, Abraham believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. As a further example, Dr. Cairns cites David as an example of God's grace. Even though David was called a man after God's own heart, his righteous standing before God had nothing to do with good works. It was purely an act of God's grace. It's true that God had to chasten David severely for his sin, but that took nothing away from his standing as a justified man. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, the beauty, basis, and blessings of free justification.
In David's failure, the Lord did not impute sin unto him. That's the revolutionary thing. That's the thing that doesn't make sense to the worldly mind. God chastened him for sins, but he did not impute sin unto him. In other words, he did not bring him back onto the legal footing of a condemned sinner. David was still a believer, justified on the basis of a perfect righteousness that was performed by someone other than himself, a righteousness that never fails. What theologians call an alien righteousness. I must say, I understand why they say that. I'm not altogether happy with the terminology. It means a righteousness by someone other than ourselves. But Jesus Christ, thank God, is not alien to his people. He is the head and we the body. We are one with him in the covenant of God's redeeming grace. And that righteousness never fails. Now, why this is so difficult to grasp is very obvious. You listen to what I've said tonight. And immediately, if you are thinking at all, immediately into your mind there comes the howl of an objection that Paul heard again and again and again. We pick it up more fully when we get to chapter 6. What shall we say then? What's the answer to this objection that what you're saying is the death of all morality? If my acceptance with God does not depend on my personal godliness, then it doesn't matter how I live. That's the objection. If God has declared me justified and accepted and perfectly righteous, and that's without any reference to anything I have done, I'm now doing, or ever will do, if I don't obtain and I don't maintain my acceptance with God by any works of mine, then you're telling me I can live whatever way I like. That's the objection. Let me tell you, that is always an objection that's found in the mouth of an unjustified and unsaved man. Because, and you can think this one through, you have never once in your life ever met a justified believer in Jesus Christ who could make his justification an excuse for sin. Never once. And the man who says he's justified and makes that the cover for his sin is a plain, downright liar and hypocrite. And he's not saved at all. That's how Paul will argue in due course. It's impossible. This doesn't overthrow morality. But I'll tell you what it does overthrow. It overthrows Satan's bondage. It overthrows Satan's power. You see, if Satan can say to a sinner, if he can make you believe that your justification depends on how well you work, then you'll never be assured of being accepted, because when you've done your best, you'll realize, I haven't done enough. If justification depends on my loving God, then no matter how much I love him, do I love him enough? If it depends on my praying, have I prayed enough? If it depends on my obeying, have I obeyed enough? When have I ever done enough? And the answer is never. And that's the bondage of legalism. If you're going to ever fall for the lie that you obtain justification by works, you will never know what it is to be justified, because your own conscience will condemn you to the bondage of admission, I cannot do enough. And if you're a believer, and you haven't grasped the second part, that we don't maintain our justification by works, if you haven't grasped that, then you know what it is to battle this day by day. I have come up against this, I couldn't tell you how many times over the years. In fact, I have to look inside my own heart and realize I've had to battle it there as well. A Christian feels, and immediately, well, I the thought comes, how could I be saved at all? What am I going to do? Well, you point that person back to Christ. Now, you'll know what I'm talking about if you're a Christian. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And you start doing penance. You come to the Lord, but oh, that's not good enough. I have really got to do something to impress God. I've got to do something to get back to where I was. I've got to keep on doing and doing and doing. In other words, if I am not praying enough, God doesn't love me anymore. If I'm not giving enough, God doesn't love me anymore. If I'm not obeying enough, then God doesn't accept me the way He said He would and the way He used to do. It all depends on how well I'm working. And of course it doesn't. It all depends on the acceptability of the righteousness of Christ. Is Christ acceptable? Has He done enough? Then if I am in Him by faith, I have a perfect righteousness. If He has made unto me righteousness, I can have no better righteousness. I can't add anything to that by praying 24 hours a day. I can't add anything to the righteousness of Christ by working from now to the day I die 24 hours a day. I can't add to the righteousness of Christ. His is a righteousness that never fails. When I come to realize He set me in this standing before God by His righteousness, and He maintains me in it by His righteousness, that's what sets me free to be able to pursue laboring for God. It becomes not an excuse for sin, but a motivation to sanctification. A motivation to service. A motivation to love Him and labor for Him. Not to gain or maintain acceptance, but because He has gained it and maintained it for me. The basis of justification is not our godliness, but the imputed righteousness of Christ. And of course, the blessings of this free justification are given to us in the three terms that both David and Paul employ to speak about what God does to the believer. Transgressions are forgiven, sins are covered, and sin is not imputed. Now, I'm going to run through those things pretty quickly, because I am trying to work to something of a half-civilized time scale here to finish Romans quicker than you think. Or sooner than you think, should I say. We may not be too quick. We may take 2 hours per sermon, but we'll get there. The blessings of free justification. Transgressions forgiven. Remove from us. The Old Testament verb has the idea of them being carried away. The New Testament verb here in Romans chapter 4 has the idea of them being released. That is, God has dismissed them. He has sent them away. He has removed them from us. Here's the first element, the first blessing for the justified. All your transgressions, all your disobediences, all your acts in contravention of the law of God, all those transgressions and sins that have piled up like a mountain over the years of your life, God has remitted them. God has removed them from you. They are not yours anymore. They're gone. He has dismissed them. If the devil or anybody else, you know, the devil's called the accuser of the brethren, if he comes talking about to the judge about your sins, the things that should condemn you to hell and keep you out of heaven, God in effect says, there's nothing to talk about. I've removed them. They're gone and gone forever. Transgressions forgiven. Removed from us. Bunyan pictured Christian as having a great burden of sin upon his back. When he came to that place called Calvary, that place somewhat ascending, what happened? The burden rolled away. It was gone, remitted, dismissed, released from him, sent away into the wilderness forever. It's gone. It's not ours. As far as our eternal acceptance with God is concerned, he says, there is a people without sin. That's what he's saying. They're gone. Gone, gone, gone. All my sins are gone. What a testimony. What a blessing. You couldn't buy it. You couldn't merit it. You couldn't work for it. You could never produce it by any ritual or religious means. But God gives it as the free gift of His grace. I remove them forever. Transgressions forgiven. But then He said sins are covered. So they're not only removed from us, but they're removed from God's sight and from God's memory. When it says they're covered, it doesn't mean they're hidden temporarily under some sort of a removable cover. It's not that somebody has put the lid on them and that sometime or later either God or Satan or ourselves may come and remove the lid and expose them to sight again. No, sir. The idea is they are covered so as never to be exposed again for all eternity. But who can ever cover sins like that? How can sins be covered from the sight of the all-seeing God? How can sins be removed from the memory of God's infinite mind? How can it be done? Only by the blood of Christ. We have already looked at that wonderful statement in Romans 3:25 concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Through the propitiatory sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the blood that was shed to cause an atonement and a covering. There is the removal of our sin from God's sight. Thus we read, and these are the terms of the new covenant, the covenant of grace, set out in Jeremiah 31, verse 34, repeated in Hebrews 8, 12 and 10, 17. These are the terms of the new covenant. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. I will remember their sin no more. As Isaiah puts it in the beautiful words of Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. In the 44th chapter of Isaiah, 22nd verse, Jehovah says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. What a beautiful statement. Here's the blessing of the justified. Sin is removed from us, but it's removed from the sight and the memory of God. That's an astonishing, astonishing statement. If the Bible didn't make it in such unequivocal terms, I would be afraid to say it. I will not, I cannot remember your sin.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.